This is Ozarks at Large. The Annie E. Casey Foundation has released the 31st edition of its Kids Count data book. The annual report looks at child well-being in the United States by analyzing economics, health, education, and family and community. While Arkansas's overall ranking of childhood well-being remained the same as last year's report at 40th, the state's economic well-being dropped from 36th to 46th. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
Rich Huddleston, Executive Director of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, says it's important to note the state has made progress on a lot of indicators since 2010. However, compared to last year's data, Arkansas did lose ground in some key areas. The big one, he says, was child poverty. According to this year's report, which analyzes data from 2017 to 2018, the number of Arkansas children living in poverty increased by 15,000.
We have about one in four kids living in poverty. And what we know about child poverty is that it impacts kids not only at the current stage in their life, but also what happens to them later in life, and has a negative impact on their health, their brain development, their school performance, their future workforce prospects, their ability to earn a good job prospects, and their future ability, you know, to take care of the families that they might have down the line.
Huddleston says child poverty in Arkansas is especially problematic when you consider a disproportionate number of children of color are living in poverty. The poverty rate for white children is about 17%, which Huddleston says is too high, but it's still lower than it is among minority communities.
Based on the latest data, about 45% of Arkansas's black kids are living in poverty, and about 33% of Hispanic or Latino kids are living in poverty. And so basically you're talking child poverty rates for kids of color that are 2 to 3 times higher than for white kids.
The higher poverty rate is no fault of children or their families, Huddleston says, but rather it's a result of decades or centuries of racism
and bad public policy at both the state and federal level in areas like housing. Slavery, of course, years ago, the persuasive effects of Jim Crow era laws, and also big disparities and big systemic disparities in the criminal justice system and things like education and healthcare.
Huddleston says the increase in child poverty, especially for children of color, is very alarming. The new Kids Count report does not include data from this year, but Huddleston says he knows poverty has gotten worse because of the pandemic.
Once you start talking about the layoffs that we've had and the economic impact that the pandemic has had, especially on low-income families and families of color who have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic, because we know that low-income parents and parents of children of color, tend to disproportionately work in like the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry, industries that have really seen massive layoffs. So we know that child poverty has gotten worse, but especially for families of color.
To analyze the effects of the pandemic on child well-being, the Annie E. Casey Foundation will issue a special report in December. Huddleston says he expects the study to show the health and economic impacts of the pandemic have been huge.
There have been some reasonable efforts at the federal level to put in place some short-term measures, to help mitigate the impact of these economic job losses and the economic collapse. But I think the implementation of those efforts have really been uneven at best. If you talk about, like in Arkansas, for example, talking about trying to get unemployment benefits to families, well, the implementation of that has been nothing short of, quite frankly, just a mess. But, that's true not only in Arkansas, but in most other states.
The pandemic is also affecting education. Huddleston says he's hearing a lot of anecdotal reports about how low-income students and students of color are losing ground in education because of things like lack of access to reliable internet to participate in virtual learning.
If you don't have the right devices at home, if you don't have parents who have the skills to help you navigate that technology, which is going to be disproportionately true for low-income students and students of color, then we know that they will have lost ground. But it's not just online access; it's things like the closing of after-school programs and the closing of summer programs, strategies which we know can really help level the playing field for low-income students and students of color. Well, a lot of that has gone by the wayside during the pandemic, and we don't know when many of those programs are coming back.
Children's health is being impacted too. Parents are delaying visits to the doctor, so their kids are not receiving vaccines or routine checkups.
And so there were diseases that were left untreated. There were conditions that have been left undiagnosed. And so that's going to have an impact on child health, which of course is also going to impact their ability to learn next year. So there are lots of things about the pandemic that are happening now that are going to impact the health, educational prospects, and economic well-being of children and families. Quite frankly, that could have lasting implications for years, especially if we don't come up with strategies over the next year or two to really try and address what happened during the pandemic.
The Annie E. Casey Foundation will release a special report in December focused on data from the pandemic period. Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families will participate in the special data release. The current edition of the Kids Count Report is available at aecf.org/databook. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And disclaimer time, my wife Laura Kellens is the director of the Northwest Arkansas Office of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. I had nothing to do with the assigning, reporting, writing, or editing of this story.